do a life lived in the Spirit. So let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Just prepare our hearts for what the Lord wants to say to us and wants to do in this passage in our lives. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are, first and foremost. It is a blessing to know you, the Creator of all things, one who is true and just, merciful and loving, one who cares deeply for our lives, one who has paid the ultimate price so that we may have life. Lord, you are truly an awesome God. And Lord, you've given us your word, your powerful living word. Know the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And I pray this morning that our hearts, our minds, will not be clogged up with a bunch of other things. That we have our focus, our attention, on you and your word, and you would, by the power of your Spirit, you would bring about an understanding, illuminating your word, helping us to understand and apply this word to our lives. Listen carefully to what you would want to do in our hearts and minds, molding us, growing us more into the likeness of Christ. I pray this morning that you have your way in us, and the power of your word. First thing we learn here is that in Christ we are free from God's judgment. Look there at verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, he condemned sin in flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is Paul's conclusion of this wonderful teaching of law versus spirit. You see a lot of this all throughout Romans. He's answering for us some very important questions. Should a follower of Christ live their lives on earth always frustrated by ongoing defeats of sin? Is there power provided to live in victory and freedom? The answer is no, we don't live in defeat. And yes, God has given us all the power we need to live the abundant life that he's promised us right here and now. It's one of the many privileges that we have in Christ. Verse 1 starts off talking about those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, to be in Christ Jesus means you have believed in Christ. And what that means is you believe in who he is, and what he did for you on the cross. He's God. He came in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. He died on that cross. You believe what he did on the cross. You believe he rose from the grave, and that he is your only hope for forgiveness of your sin. He's paid the price. And therefore, you acknowledge your sin before God, and your sin that separates you from God, and you ask his forgiveness, you turn to him, you repent it, you ask his forgiveness, you surrender your life to him, you are now forgiven of all your sin, you have been born of God, he's now Lord of your life, you are now in Christ. You hear that word, in Christ, that's what that means. You totally surrender your life to him. You are God's child, adopted by him, you're in Christ. And so for those, he says, who are in Christ, there is now no condemnation on you. There's no condemnation on us. Meaning, you're no longer a child of wrath. In Christ, you are justified before God. You're declared righteous by Christ and his work on the cross. By his grace, you've been saved from God's punishment. Jesus took that for you on the cross. He says there in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death points us back to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, where he says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And then we know just a few verses later, Romans 3, 23, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he tells us the punishment.
But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
The wages of sin is death. You see, God's law was never meant to save us. It was given to reveal the to a perfect standard of holiness, perfection, that we cannot gain in our own human strength. No matter how many good deeds or how many good works we do, it'll never measure up. The law reveals our need for a redeemer, our need for a savior. It reveals that in our own strength we are left without hope. Without God's help, we are already judged and condemned to the everlasting punishment of death. But thankfully, God loves us. Say a lot about God's love this week. His extraordinary love that we cannot fully comprehend in our human minds. We've never seen a love like this. Thankfully, God loves us more than we've ever had. And even as sinners, God came himself to save us from the power of sin and death. Christ came and paid the full price for all sin. He overcame death, and he lives to offer everyone forgiveness, this free gift of forgiveness of sin and life, eternal life. He states that in verse 3 and 4. Look here in verse 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Christ came and he took on flesh, being born in our likeness. Now get this, he's being born in our likeness. That's a baby, remember? The power of the Spirit of earth, he was born in the flesh, but not with our sinful nature. He overcame sin. He lived a perfect life. So on the cross, he could pay the full price for all sin and give us the righteousness that comes along for him. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says this, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, we have exchanged our sin for his righteousness. I've given him my sin. His righteousness. If you're in Christ, you've given him your sin, and he's given you his righteousness. We are made righteous in Christ. Now, do you notice here that he did not say no mistakes? He did not say no failures, and he even didn't say no sin. He said no condemnation for those who are in Christ. If he follows the Christ, he will make mistakes from time to time. We will fail here and there, and face the daily battle between the flesh and the spirit. Something that happens when you are in Christ, when you're born of God. Now the Holy Spirit, and there's a wrestling there. There's a battle going on every single day for who's going to be in control. You don't allow the spirit to have control, you allow your flesh to have control. See, no one is perfect. Not the side of it. But in Christ, here's the difference. The battle can be won. The victory can be had. Freedom from sin is given by God through his powerful spirit that indwells us. The law of sin and death no longer has a claim on you. Because in Christ Jesus, you're no longer a slave of the sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, verse 18. The law of sin and death cannot condemn you because Christ has already been tried. Tried by the court of law. Try for your sin, and he's paid the full price for your punishment. The law of sin and death no longer has control over you. No one has control over you, but the power that now lives in you, within you, is stronger than your flesh. How's that for a prisoner in Christ? You're no longer condemned. No longer has a claim on you. It no longer has control over you, because you've been born of God. You are a child of God. Satan will love nothing more than for you to feel as if the law of sin and death still has a claim. He wants to condemn you. That's his job. That's what he loves to do the most. To make you feel as if you have no control over your actions. But plain and simple, that is a lie. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. That is a lie from Satan. He wants to make you think that you have no control over your power. Over your actions. See, without Christ in our own strength, we'll try to be a good person, but every attempt will lead to failure. And we will never measure up to God's standard of righteousness. But for those who are in Christ, yielded to the leadership of God and the Holy Spirit, we will experience his transforming work and power of the Spirit in our lives. God, the Holy Spirit, works in us. He does the sanctifying work in our life. He does what we cannot do in our flesh. That's what God says about his children. Do you see? Do you see your identity in here? Do you see your identity in this? This is what God says about you, those who are in Christ. This is what he says about his children. You're no longer condemned. You are free. As 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, my little second daughter, Jessica, used to say, when she's really little, memorize this verse, she used to say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not free, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from sin, being enslaved to that. Which leads us to the next privilege that we got in Christ. In Christ, we're led by the Spirit. How's that for a privilege? To be led by God. We don't have to worry about leading ourselves. God is going to lead. He wants to lead. Look there at verses 5 through 14. In Christ, we're led by the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. Verse 8, those who are in the flesh do not please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, all of the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies, including the Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh. To live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14. For all of them are led by the Spirit of God. Paul starts off here contrasting two kinds of people. Those who know Christ and those who do not know Christ. Those who have surrendered their lives to Christ and those who have rejected his free gift of life. Those who have the Holy Spirit, those who don't. And the difference it makes is life-giving and life-changing. So the person here who does not know Christ, has never believed in Christ, never repented of their sin, never surrendered their life to Christ, lives according to the desires of their flesh, that their sinful nature has full reign over their mind and their body. I know for some of us it might have been many years, but think back to what that used to be like before you put your faith in Christ. Just think back. Remember what that was like before you put your faith in Christ? Again, we're going to look. We read a little bit of this before we worship. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 5, because this describes this in detail. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Follow the course of this world. Follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in sons of disobedience and Satan, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God in rich mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. See, these verses describe what we read there in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. That their minds are set on, focused on what their flesh desires. That this is what we see around us in the world. This is what we see in the lives of those who know Christ. They are led and controlled by a simple desire, just as we read there in Ephesians. That they look to fulfill and attain whatever they desire, whatever makes them feel good, even if it's momentary. They live their lives according to their own rules, based on their own terms. We see that here in verse 6, that this kind of life, look what it says. This kind of life, apart from Christ, it leads to death. It leads to death. Verse 7 says, to live by the flesh is hostile toward God. Basically, that means that we are made to be an enemy of God. An enemy of God. And because we live by our own terms based on what the flesh desires, we will not submit to God's law. Meaning that we're in constant disobedience to God. That's why he says in verse 8, that those who live in the flesh without Christ cannot please God. You cannot please God. They may be moral. These people may be moral, have some moral consistency even, and in some ways even be religious. They are a lot of different than spiritually. The inner person does not respond to God. They may even perform some good deeds or good works, yet it's an act of their own strength apart from God. Probably the saddest part of this living in the flesh is what we see in verse 9. Look at verse 9. Those who live in the flesh do not have the Holy Spirit, and therefore do not belong to God. They don't belong to God. In their fleshly desire to keep control of their lives, they have lost everything. They lost it all. I love how Jesus says in Matthew 16:26, he says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What can you gain material possessions that's going to be better than your soul, being separated from God forever under an eternal punishment? Nothing compares to that. They have lost the possibility to have true freedom in the world. They will continue to be judged and condemned for their sin. Their sin will keep them in bondage forever. God's wrath will one day be poured out on them, and they will forever be separated from their Creator. Doesn't sound like a good trade-off, does it? Doesn't sound like a good trade-off. My way equals death. God's way equals life. My way equals death. Struggle. Chaos. Punishment. God's way equals life, freedom, security, purpose, hope, peace, joy, protection, eternal life in the presence of God. It just doesn't compare. Paul also here describes those who live according to the Spirit. He reminds them that they are no longer controlled by the flesh, but by the Holy Spirit. They have by faith in Christ been indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. And here, Paul makes it clear that the Holy Spirit enters a person's life at the moment of salvation. Really, I think nowhere here does Scripture make it clearer. For Paul says that those who do not have the Spirit do not belong to Him. You can't partially belong to God. You're either born of God or you are not. Therefore, we cannot believe in Christ or truly put your faith in Christ and not be indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen that way. God's saying that. That's what he's saying to us. It's just in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He says this. He says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance and required possessions to praise his Lord. It is God's seal on you. Think of that. When you believe in Christ, you repent of your sins, you surrender your life to him, at that moment you are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. God put a seal on you. He says, you are his. Nothing can take you out of his hand. John 10:28. He says, you are his. You're my child. Nothing can separate you from my love. John 8:37 through 39. The Holy Spirit is proof of our salvation. It is an amazing blessing. It is an amazing privilege to have God living in us. And then we see that those who have the Spirit can set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now the word mind here speaks of a new mindset. In Christ, you are now a new creation. You've been given these new desires by God. He starts to develop this new perspective in your mind that have from knowing God's word, better understanding who God is, what this world is about, what we're about. It starts to give us a new perspective. perspective as we talked about last week. And so then it helps us to focus our minds on what God desires instead of what we desire. Because we walk with God, we slowly take on this mindset of the Spirit. This happens as we daily surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we daily forsake our flesh and in His power, we let Him take control and lead us. I love Galatians 5:16. It speaks to the Word. It says this: if we walk by the Spirit, now that means that we allow Him to be in control, and so that He can lead us and direct us and convict us and empower us to overcome our flesh. That's what He says. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We will not gratify those desires. We will entertain those things. We will have power over those things. We have to let Him take control. You see, if the Spirit has control and leadership over your heart, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then a little bit later on in that same chapter, Galatians 5, verse 29, He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step. See, by having a mind that is set on the Spirit, we're able to be led, however, wherever He wants to be. Whatever God's will is, not our will. Because we have this new mindset set on the Spirit, He says here in verse 6, that we will have life and we will have peace. But you know, in order for us to have our mind set on the Spirit, we need to be careful what we fill our minds up. We need to be careful what we fill our minds up with. See, what goes into your mind changes who you are. It greatly affects your mindset. It greatly affects your behavior. If we allow the world to entertain our minds with no restraint, no boundaries, no filters, what can we expect? If we do that, we can expect to often think like those who live by the flesh. We can expect that we will struggle more with sin and temptation. We can expect that our mindset will not be focused on the things of God, but rather on the things of this world, the things that I desire. He says in verses 12 and 14, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See, Paul wanted them to know that this amazing privilege puts them under obligation. You see, privilege brings about responsibility. We are not obligated to our old sinful nature. Okay? He put that to death in the new creation of Christ. We're no longer obligated to follow after the demands of our flesh. Rather, we are obligated here to live each day under the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is why spending time with God is so important. We must daily surrender to His leadership. But if we're just going about our day doing what we want, filling our minds up with whatever we want, whenever we want, where is there time for you to get to know God, reflect on His Word, allow Him to take control? Because we live by the Spirit, we have the power we need in to put to death the needs of the body, he says there in verse 13. We have been born of God, therefore we cannot live according to the flesh any longer. We have freedom and power to live in victory over sin. And that doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes, as I said before. But we have a new mindset because we're under the control and leading of the Holy Spirit, which gives us power in the flesh. Because we walk closely with the Lord, we are sensitive to the Spirit's conviction. We're sensitive to the Spirit's leading. We better understand what God desires as the Holy Spirit can help us understand His Word. And we respond then when we do make mistakes in true repentance of our sin. We allow God to help us and empower us to walk in His ways. It's a process, but it's a beautiful process where God is empowering and doing this wonderful work in us and getting us freedom. The life and death he's talking about here is different from the follower of Christ. He says there, he says to brothers, he's talking to his brothers and sisters in Christ. If we succumb to our old nature and we die on a simple life case, we will not die and go to hell, but we will die in the sense that we will not experience the fullness of Christ joy in the indwelling presence of the Spirit as we should. We will not enjoy the freedom that He's given us and brings about in life because our sin, you know what it does? It grieves the Holy Spirit. You know what happens to Him? He brings about conviction. And it becomes constant when we're in constant disobedience. And then you know what the Lord does? He says, He disciplines those who love us. And so then discipline comes into your life. And this is not an enjoyable thing. It's not going to feel like freedom. I mean, if you've ever been in that place, you know what that feels like, right? To kind of walk your own way, ignoring God, and how He brings that conviction of sin, and kind of, where's this guilt? Where's this shame coming from? Oh, I have freedom in Christ. We're breathing the Holy Spirit. And then there's discipline in your life. That's what is coming. Walk away from God. That's what is coming. Because God loves you. He wants to draw you back. He wants to get you close to Him so He can bless you with freedom and victory and joy and peace. God has given us too much in Christ so you can walk through life as though you are defeated. God desires to continue to lead you out of your old way of life into this new way of life, which brings with it the privilege of true freedom and power in Christ. And you see that verse 14, that in Christ, children of God are being led by the Holy Spirit. The leading there is a willingness to fall under His leadership. Because we know who God is. We know what He's done. We can trust Him with everything in our life. We know that His way is best. So every day, we willingly surrender to His leadership. We know what He's done for us in the past. We know where He's taken us from and what He's delivered us from. Therefore, out of love for Him, we willingly follow Him. We willingly surrender to His leadership. We want Him to lead us. You ever think about that? We say it's a privilege to be led by the Holy Spirit, led by God. Is that what we want? Is that what we really desire? Or is it, I'm going to do my own thing? I don't know. I kind of want to lead and make my own decisions. I want to be in control. If that's your heart, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on freedom. You're going to miss out on victory. You're going to look at the world. All those who don't know Christ, you're like, my life doesn't look like that. You don't want to see God. The truth is, God loves you. Do not let Him be mean. But there's even more privileges we have in Christ. I want you to look here, verses 15 and 17. Within Christ, we have adoption through the Spirit. This is amazing. Look at verse 15 and 17. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And as children, then heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ, providing suffering with Him in order that we may also be glorified. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John says this. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Think about that for a moment. Does that ever cross your mind? You ever contemplate that? The Creator who spoke everything into creation, who is sovereign, who says holds the standard of the universe, or that holds the universe in the standard of man. Thank you. call him a child of God. If it's not, then your view of God is too small or too limited. If it's not, then most likely it doesn't line up with what Scripture reveals to us about God. The creator of all things, all powerful, all of them, eternal, gracious, merciful God, He is our Father. Through our faith in Christ, we are adopted as children of God. The Holy Spirit indwells us and gives witness. He says here that we are children of God, as I said earlier. It is God's seal, His guarantee to us that we are His, and our reward of heaven will be given to us. And since we are sons and daughters of God, He says we're fellow heirs of Christ. We're heirs of the King of Kings. All that Christ claims as heir, we will have access to it as well. Here, the word son could be looked at as children, but there's importance here in using this word son. Sons and daughters. Son meant a child mature enough to take on adult family privileges and responsibilities. You see, he received all the rights as of a natural born son. And therefore, we have so much to be excited about, so much to be overjoyed. Our future hope outweighs everything we face in this world. Because we are adopted children of God, we have been delivered from slavery. We've been delivered from the bondage of the flesh and sin. We have been adopted by the King, and we should no longer live in fear as we did before. That's what he's saying here. No longer live in fear. We should no longer think that we are somehow enslaved again to sin.